Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Starts stocking up for Labor Day weekend and for the first game of the season at Beaver Stadium with West Virginia. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day. A big play that led to the Steelers being 0-0 on the season.
Second and 10. Pressure coming. Pickett down the near sideline. That ball is hauled in. George Pickens with the reception, 35 yards against Natron Brooks.
It excited the masses. The Steelers, won 24-0?
They did. They completed an undefeated preseason.
Oh, man. You know, the year the Detroit Lions went 5-0 in the preseason, you know what their record was in the regular season?
A losing record.
It was 0-16. All right, so, and Derek Williams played on that team. Do we have Jerry yet?
We do.
Oh, well, this is a privilege because in our business, this is one of the legends. I think now 37th year as the play-by-play voice of Oregon football, and was a longtime play-by-play voice of Oregon basketball, Jerry Allen. Jerry, it's a privilege. Great to have you with us.
Oh, man, I appreciate that intro, but what all that really means is that I'm old. That's why I've been here so long.
That's what I tell people. Like, this will be 32 for me, and then 42 for basketball. I say the same thing. I can't find somebody else, so it's good.
Yeah.
When I'll take you back almost 14 months, when you found out USC and UCLA were going to the Big Ten, what ran through your mind 14 months ago?
Shock. I mean, because there was nothing leaked out. There was nothing talked about as it might possibly happen. You know, like, wow, this could be a, you know, they're not really going to do this, would they? No, it just flat got dropped on us, and it was a shock. It took a while to recover, realize what it meant to the Pac-12. It was going to become the Pac-10. And then we started thinking, are they the only two? I mean, how do you replace the L.A. market? That's a huge deal. So, yeah, it was unsettling.
From time to time, there had been some rumors initially about Oregon and Washington. That was initially. You know, what were you thinking then when you started hearing the carrot being dangled and then suddenly it seemed like it wasn't there any longer?
Well, initially it was, no, come on, let's hold the Pac-12 together. There's too much history here. There's just, you know, it's been 100 years, almost 100 years, and so Oregon playing against the Huskies, the Ducks and the Beavers. I mean, so many great games against Stanford through the years, we're not going there. Thanks for the offer, but we're going to stay on the West Coast. We need to make sure there's a West Coast presence for a Power Five conference, and so that was the thought. Now, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes with how serious those offers were, that how big that carrot was, but I think a lot of us were like, no, we got to stay together.
Then when the TV contract came out and it was the Apple numbers, and Apple refused to have a linear partner to go with them, that's when everybody started to scatter. Now that the dust is settling, and I know there's still another Pac-12 season to go, what did you think in the end about Oregon and Washington in combination going to the Big Ten?
Well, I think it was the right thing to do. I think you got to survive. I think you need to make sure that you take care of yourself. You hate to take off on the Pac-12, but Colorado had already gone. Arizona and Arizona State were making overtures, Utah possibly, and it just you could just see the writing on the wall. And so the feeling was if you get an offer that is even at least equal to what Apple was going to present, I would myself say go for it because it's going to give you some linear TV. Now, 5 years from now, TV is not probably going to be nearly as important, but right now it is, particularly for recruiting. So it was you know, mixture of just angst and sadness. You know, we're leaving the Pac-12. That means it's probably going to die. But how exciting to be moving to the Big Ten where there's so many traditional programs that we used to look forward to playing because they were so well-respected.
Give us an idea for many who have never been there what a Saturday is like in Autzen Stadium.
Well, at one time, you know, and different coaches, depending on when they played, how well they played against Oregon, would call Autzen the loudest stadium they've ever played in. I think Lloyd Carr, some years ago when Michigan came out and the Ducks beat him, it was just deafening in here, and the Ducks beat Michigan, and he was quoted as saying, anywhere we have that quote up on the wall in the locker room somewhere, Autzen Stadium's where great teams go to die. which was awesome for Oregon at the time because we really had not arrived yet. So it's only a 60,000 seat stadium. They can squeeze a few more in, but the configuration and the fans are crazy, like one would expect college football fans to be. And there's no real sports teams around, so this is a real focus, and it's pretty exciting around here. It is a fun day.
I actually end up watching a lot of Pac-12 football based on my schedule. I'll come back from broadcasting a game, whether it's on the road or even here at home, and I'll end up watching a Pac-12 game. So I watched last year, and I know this will bring up painful memories, but the Oregon-Oregon State game last year. What becomes of that moving forward with the possibility of three non-conference games?
Well, they're, you know, that's mixed. You're going to get mixed answers from a lot of different people. I think there are a lot of fans that are you know, scrambling to try to push Oregon and Oregon State administrations to find a way to keep that series going, keep playing each other. There are some fans that, you know, don't care. I mean, you know, let's move on, all right? Oregon State's got to deal with their own problems, trying to find somewhere to go. I think it would be sad to end what we used to call the Civil War, and we can't call it that anymore. They still haven't come up with a name for it. But it's a tradition-rich game with two schools that are 38 miles apart. And the Beavers have got a great program. Holy cow, they beat Oregon last year, and Jonathan Smith's got them riding high. So to not be able to keep playing the Beavers somehow, at least every other year, would be really sad.
You're somebody that's very in tune with the fan base. What have they said about all this to you?
I think, surprisingly to me, most people understand why the Pac-12 is falling apart, why it's not going to be the Pac-12 anymore. And they know sort of who to blame, and that goes back probably to Larry Scott some years ago when right. He could never get the Pac-12 network fully engaged. He had two of the three partners they needed in TV deals. I think DirecTV is the one that never did jump on board, and so they were down a third of the money they needed, and that started the process. And then when television contracts started coming up for renewal and nobody was stepping up, and people start reading the headlines and hearing the news, only Apple TV, no linear TV, the fans are pretty smart. They got it. They understand. So I think most fans are disappointed with the loss of the Pac-12 and the tradition, but they understand why it happened.
This has a chance to be a really good Oregon team. We saw Jack Hamm and I had a good long look at Bo Nixon here 2 years ago when Auburn came in. And Bo played well that night. He did not turn it over. He played well, but Penn State won the game. Jerry, he had a terrific season last year. Why do you think he had the season he had last year? And the second part of this, Will Stein comes in as the new offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. anything potentially different because of a new OC and quarterback coach?
Well, the first part of that, Bo, I think needed just a fresh start somewhere where he had fans behind him. I mean, he's a not an overly emotional kid, but he's very sensitive. He hears things, he knows what's being said, and he cares. And I think he felt like he didn't have the support of the fans, and the media is part of that too. You know, the guy struggles a little bit here and there, and the quarterback's going to get blamed. So he just wasn't comfortable, and he wanted to play football somewhere else and have a good, fun last year without, I think, people kind of picking on him. And so he comes to Oregon, and he is an unbelievably nice young man. I mean, he's as good as it gets. I mean, I have two daughters, and if they were a lot younger, I'd be doing everything I could to get him to marry. He's perfect. I mean, he really is. And he's got the team right. He got the team right away. I mean, they welcomed him with open arms, and he matured and just became a relaxed quarterback and quality athlete that he always was. But the last couple of years at Auburn, you know, just were kind of. He never could relax and do that. I think he cared too much. He's a different man out here now, and he's got the team. He got married the summer before that first season last year, mm-hmm. So maturity had a lot to do with it. And I don't. You're not going to see anything different. I mean, I've heard some of the coaches say, "Hey, nothing's broke. You're not going to fix anything. You're going to keep doing what you do." They got a great receiving core, some great returning receivers. The running backs are unbelievable. Offensive line, they got to replace four starters, but they've got six other guys that played significant minutes behind those starters. So they're pretty solid on offense. I don't think you're going to see – I mean, even you're going to see some variations in the way they do some things, but it's still, you know, run the ball, throw the ball. Bo Nix is going to create – he only got sacked five times last year. Now, a lot of that was the offensive line, but a lot of it was Bo and his ability to read and escape. So I think they're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, I remember doing the Penn State-Auburn game and leading up. I just kind of felt like being a legacy. There was so much put on his shoulders down there that it would be almost impossible for anybody to beat. And I was glad he got out to Oregon and had the season he had, because I've heard the same thing about him, that you know personally, that he's a terrific guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're lucky. To have him. I'll just say that. I mean, sometimes those transfers don't work, but this is the best possible scenario.
Dan Lanning, you've had, you know, really, in my mind, starting with Rich Brooks, who coached against Penn State in the Rose Bowl in 94 and had a really terrific team, and your quarterback only threw for 400 yards in the game. I was a witness.
Carter? Yeah.
Kajana Carter, and your quarterback was Danny O'Neill, I think, right?
Yeah, one for Carter. Oregon has a chance to win that game, but he was a one-man wrecking crew.
Yeah, three touchdowns in that game, including on the first play Penn State had from its scrimmage. But when you look at Dan Lanning, who's the latest, coming in from Georgia, everyone understands what works, and they also have their own ways of doing things that may be subtle. What do you like about Dan Lanning?
You know, it's hard to put your finger on it. I got a chance to meet him when he was first introduced. We talked a little while. I was familiar with him when he was at Georgia. I'm 75 years old, and I'm getting to a point where I think, you know, how many more years I'm going to do this? It's still fun. I like doing it. But another coaching change, and we've been through some. So, you know what? After I talked to Dan Lanning, I was juiced. And I told him personally, I said, "Coach, I was entertaining some thoughts of maybe hanging it up. But I said, I believe in you so much, and you haven't even coached a damn game yet. I believe in you so much. I'll be here until you're gone. I believe you can win a national championship." And I do. He's young, brings in some new ideas. He's a terrific defensive mind. And he just you're drawn to him. You want to. And there are a lot of coaches like him. I mean, he's not unbelievably special in that he's different than a lot of great coaches, but he has that it factor that makes you want to stay close to him because you just think he's going to be successful.
Come on, you got to stay in long enough where you and I meet each other a few times. Come on.
Oh, I promise I will. I'm not going anywhere soon.
But one thing that you did do, you did primarily basketball for a long time, and Dana does a great job with the program there. But that's one area where you slowed down a bit because family meant so much to you. And I think that's something that people, and there's so much travel that goes into this. You know, your family obviously is the center of your universe, and you showed that by what you did with the basketball part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. I miss doing basketball unbelievably. I mean, it hurts not to be there doing it. But I also, through my career, have missed so much of my children's, you know, birthdays and holidays and games and all of that. And then you know, my wife's had a few back surgeries in her health.
Yeah.
I mean, she's certainly not critical, like, but she needs me more. And I with basketball, you're gone 4, 5, 6 days in a row every 2 weeks, and it was like I'm worrying about her, and she's uncomfortable about me. And so I had to make a decision between two things that I love. Well, I love her a lot more than basketball, so it was pretty easy. It was easy, and you totally understand that.
Yeah. I do have to ask you about Game 4. How interested are you with the Deons? It's going to be only one time, really, Oregon plays them because they'll go to the Big 12, you'll go to the Big 10. How interested are you to see what a Deion Sanders team looks like?
I'm really curious. I'm looking for their first game. I'll watch every game because I don't know whether they're going to be really bad or surprisingly good. Usually, you know, expansion teams in the NFL or baseball or whatever don't go well for the. And this is an expansion team, basically.
Yeah.
This is all new guys. So, but it's Deion, you know, and there's some Hollywood in there. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to see what they do.
I love that. There's some Hollywood in there. That is so great. Oh, my goodness. Well, Jerry, I'm so glad you could give us some time today. I really appreciate it, and I am so looking forward to having Oregon and you in the Big Ten because you have one of the sterling reputations out there, and it's a privilege to have you a part of the group.
Oh, that's very nice of you. I'm really excited to get out and see the new venues that we haven't been to, meet new people, you included, and just continue what has been an unbelievably fun career. And so thanks for having me, and you know, let's not wait till next year to do this. You know, if you want to catch up to Oregon when they're still undefeated late November going for the college football playoff, give me a call.
You know what,
now
that's a possibility, and I'll tell you right now, I will make that call.
Okay, but if we're 4-7, I won't answer the phone. Okay.
As somebody who walks the same path you do, I wouldn't make the call. Jerry, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed it. And have a great, great season. I know you will.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Bless you guys. And let's talk again soon. Bye-bye, guys.
Jerry Allen, the legendary play-by-play voice of Oregon football. He also is still doing the color on their basketball games at home. And he will freely admit, I've seen him admit to people, he says, at times I still feel like I'm lapsing into play-by-play because that's what he does. But he really is. I mean, this is somebody maybe a lot of you haven't heard before because you may not, you know, unless you have SiriusXM and you can hear him. Jerry's terrific. Does a great, great job on their broadcast. All right, we'll take a break. Are you upset about something again?
After hearing from Jerry, absolutely not. I love his energy. He is a terrific, terrific person.
He, Tony, right?
Yeah, I enjoyed Tony, too, when we had him on a couple weeks ago, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But USC's play-by-play guy, who's just a great guy. I really don't know Josh Lewin of UCLA well. I've met him because he's done a couple of Big Ten games involving Penn State, but he's never one that's been around at shoot-around. He usually shows up before the game because of his schedule. I mean, it's only because of his schedule, not because of any other reason. So he's one I don't really know at all. But yeah, this is an exciting once it gets here, but it has to get here first. I mean, it has to get here first. And then once it gets here, then we'll really have a good time with it. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back. King in the final half hour. Matt, did you get that present I sent you?
That depends. Which one?
The one that with the huge bag with the paper bags in it to breathe into.
I still have those from last time you sent it. I'm well stocked now for the season.
What do you mean well stocked? I heard you ran out.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Now batting for the Yankees is Volpe. Now batting, Giancarlo Stanton. I need two.
Yeah, really?
He went 4-for-5 yesterday to raise his average to 204. How bad's that?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
How bad is that? Come on.
He's getting close to the dope category, I can tell you that.
Oh, you hate everybody. I mean, you hate everybody. I don't get it. Why? Is this your upbringing? No?
Let's call it ancestry.
Ancestry. So your ancestors were like this? You went to Ancestry.com and you found out that they were Eagles fans from all the losing years and you just like picked up the mantra?
No, my family's Giants, but the attitude of the sports fan in them has carried on to me. That's
carried
what I
on
mean
to
by
you?
That. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's... So this is who you are, huh? And it's their fault, it's not yours. Wow, that makes sense.
We'll just leave it at that.
Wow. That must be a tough way to live. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention, Central Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the one event you've been waiting for. Sudbury Motors is having their 75th annual August new Ford truck sale with savings up to $8,465 and financing as low as 1.9%. All new Ford F-150s will be priced at just $75 over invoice, and they will come with a genuine Ford bedliner. Ford Motor Company has awarded SMC 42 additional F-150s to meet consumer demand during this unprecedented sale. The Ford F-150 is America's number one selling truck for 46 consecutive years, and one is sold every 49 seconds. Sudbury Motors has 23 new Ford Explorers available with savings up to $5,000, and they start from just $43,375. Pick from 17 of the totally redesigned Ford Escapes, and SMC has them slashed $2,500, and they start from only $30,890. Sudbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century. Hurry before someone gets your new truck.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, live by the barrels and the dills. Absolutely second to none. All at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury. the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the Labor Day weekend and for the first Penn State football game of the season. Yeah, it's a week away, a week from tomorrow. You want to tailgate and you want to do it right, and that means Brewers Outlet. You also want to get to the game in style. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And it was great last night to meet Jeff Klock, the sales manager at Sunbury Motors, who stopped up to the broadcast booth last night. Terrific to have all of them up there. All right. It's always great to spend time, and nobody spent more time with him than I have, the King.
King.
Hello, boys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Great. How are you?
I am well. Oh, no complaints.
First football Friday.
Yeah. First of many. We've got to go all the way to February.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. This guy... I was talking to somebody today about that because the NFL, let's face it, eventually wants to go to 18 games.
Oh,
and man, 17 already feels so long. I mean, last January, I was doing a game at the Palestra in Philadelphia, and the game was opposite the Giants and the Eagles. Like, hey, I mean, it's January. Like, it was a regular season game. It wasn't the playoff game.
I don't know, the money's going too far, guys. I was stunned this morning when I learned that Wake Forest quarterback last year is now the quarterback at Notre Dame.
Yeah, Sam Hartman.
I mean, what are they going to start trading players now? You know, we'll give you our, you know, trade this player for that player. It's like professional football now.
Well, he's now there, and so you roll with the punches because Notre Dame's starting quarterback last year is now at Alabama.
That's funny. They're free agents, and they're just bouncing around. It takes the rah-rah out of it. Not that that matters anymore. You still root for your team, root for your uniform. But it takes the rah-rah out of it. It's like, who can we get to come to our school this year? How much can we pay him? You know, how much will the donors pay to get this guy in here? The rah-rah of it starts to go away. It's not like it used to be.
Well, that's why.
And it won't go back either. So
that's why when Jalen Hurts went from Alabama to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Zero issue here. He got his degree from Alabama, then he transferred. Well, to me, once you get your degree, I think you've fulfilled everything you could possibly ask for out of a place.
Yeah, I get that. And Jalen Hurts, I mean, Jalen Hurts is a man. I mean, he took a back seat to somebody else when he didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
You know? And that's... And now he's succeeding on the professional level, at a high level. I don't know if Tua will ever reach that level.
Mike McDaniel told me how much he likes Tua, and he went through a bunch of reasons why.
And he's funny, that guy.
Mike's a riot. Mike is unbelievably funny.
He's good for football.
Yeah, and the reason I got to talk to him was through Jaywan Sider, our running backs coach, who knows him because of the South Florida connections. So that's how I got a chance to talk to him. I talked to him for a while, and you're right, he is an absolute riot. It's like the suit in staff meetings, except the suit isn't trying to be funny.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
Yeah, this guy's just good for. He's like the new rock and roll coach for football, you know?
Yeah.
He's a good X's and O's guy, and he's just got a different way about him. I like him. I heard an interview today. He was good.
He's got a great sense of humor, and you know what? He doesn't take himself too seriously. And that's the part. You know, I'm trying to get mad in that direction.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Hey, you should have heard Matt at the beginning of the show rip the Eagles how they played a preseason game last night.
When the game was over, they had the same record as the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Commanders. They were all 0-0.
That's good. It's just, you know what? The Eagles got no place to go but down. So that's, it's tough when you, you know, you go to the Super Bowl and you got to go again. You know, there's no other place to go.
So. I'm trying to think if, and somebody may have to correct me on this. Teams that have lost the Super Bowl and then come back the next year and won it. The only one I could think of off the top of my head would be the Miami Dolphins, who lost to the Cowboys 24-3, and then the next year came back and completed the 17-0 season by beating Washington. That's the only one I can think of.
Did the Patriots do it?
No.
Oh, yes, they did. Yeah, because they lost to the Eagles, and then they beat the Rams.
The next year?
Yeah.
Okay, so they did it. So, but they had an exceptional quarterback. You've got a rum-dum.
And then the Bengals last year got back to the championship game.
That's irrelevant. Yeah. I'm talking about winning it. Whoa, we made the playoffs. Okay, good. That's good. That's great.
I tell you, how many teams are settling on making the playoffs? That's their goal. You know?
I think everything depends on who you are. For example, if you are, like, let's go into last year. The Giants, a year ago, making the playoffs was an accomplishment.
Yeah. The
Kansas City Chiefs making the playoffs would not have been good enough.
Oh, absolutely not. So, and that's what I meant about the Eagles. The Eagles need to go back to Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so.
they need to go back. And then, if they don't make it back, I advise everybody to tune into this show. Because
oh my almighty!
I
may not say a word for the entire 2 hours. I may not say a word all week except to introduce the show. Hi everybody!
This is our new producer, Jim.
I mean, they don't win the Super Bowl this year. I mean, instead of his last name being Cotrillo, we may have to call him by his nickname, Basket Case.
No God!
Come on, admit it. They don't win the Super Bowl this year. You are going to be a wreck.
I will be disappointed, but I honestly don't have those expectations right now.
You'll be a wreck. Oh, expectations. You broke down a preseason game. Come on. Really? You actually broke down a preseason game. That meant
I think
zero.
If you make the Super Bowl, that's a big deal. I don't, you know, you want to win it, but to make it's a big deal.
Then it's
just a game. The ball can bounce anyway. But,
right, but you know what? To me, when it comes to a championship, you can never take the attitude of, hey, we made it, it's great to be here. You have to look at it as, this is my one shot to do it.
I don't mean it that way. I mean, you made it to the final game of the year. You made it all the way to the end. Now that ball can go any way it wants to go. It's a different type of game.
Sure.
It's the halftime show and all that crap. I'm just saying, if you make it, you got a lot to be proud of.
Anything can happen. The ball can fall out of your hands, and somebody can pick it up and run it back for a touchdown.
Absolutely.
Oh, what if that did happen? Well,
look at the Patriots, the last Super Bowl they won. Oh, my God. That last Super Bowl when Butler, how stupid that all they had to do was run Marshawn Lynch into the touchdown and win the Super Bowl, and they throw an interception.
Jordan Hill.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Jordan Hill was on the Seahawks. He then gave a speech to the Penn State football team at the quarterback club senior banquet 2 years ago. And he said, and he looked at everybody and said, we should have run the ball. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
time coming. Time for picks.
It's good to hear that music again, isn't it? There we go. Now, a reminder from last year's standings. King. All right, we'll have to get King back.
He didn't want to hear it.
He was third. You were second. And yours truly is the defending champ. So, Steve, let's...
Beautiful.
As I get King back on the line here, let's start with UTEP and Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State moving up to FBS. Who you got?
Well, they're moving up and they're going to regret it. UTEP. He's trying to get the King back on the phone here. That's why the delay. There we go. There's King.
King, you got back.
Hello?
There we go.
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button.
So you're not in favor of the new red end call button being on a different side of the phone with the new Apple phone, iOS 17, whatever it is now?
No. I was going to hit speaker. I had it on speakerphone, and I hit the red phone and hung you up.
All right. UTEP, Jacksonville State, King, who you got?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah. Jackson State.
Ah, all right. I am going to roll with UTEP myself. Let me see how Jacksonville State does first, post-Dion moving up to FBS, before I jump on the bandwagon there. Next one, UMass. It will be coming a little later on the season to Happy Valley. First, they go to New Mexico State. King.
Oh, God. New Mexico State. UMass is playing Penn State.
Homecoming game.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. That's all you need
to
know.
Make a trade.
King?
I got New Mexico State.
Oh, yeah, you picked it. Steve, you go.
Aggies, New Mexico State.
Yeah.
Jerry Kill's team wins.
Yeah, I'm going with the Aggies as well. They finished off strong last year, too, but regardless, I'd still like them in this matchup. Next one.
Mind you, these are the only games that are being played.
Also true. This is why this is week zero in college football. Yeah. All right, next one. Ohio and SDSU. Steve.
Ohio does have Rourke, their quarterback, back, but I like San Diego State. They'll win the game by 17 points.
Yeah, Ohio's a good football team, but I will take SDSU in this case. King.
I rolled a keg of beer to Ohio at this college. So.
Yeah, terrific.
In my better days. Yeah, we rolled it 100 miles. It was cool. From
That's
Marietta
impressive.
College
That's
to Ohio College. So I'm going to take Ohio just because I rolled a keg there.
There you go. Roll with the Bobcats.
All right. Roll out the keg.
Steve, did you do that in your days at PSU Wilkes-Barre?
No, I
didn't. Did you roll it over to Scranton?
No.
No?
No, I didn't even roll one to my car. All right. I'm a dull guy,
man. I'm shocked I remembered we did it. So.
That's a valid point. That's a valid point.
That's good.
All right, next one. Vandy. Apparently, their stadium's not ready yet, and they're playing Hawaii in 2 days, so that's interesting. But they got Hawaii coming up. King.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, as much as I love to see Hawaii win, just because they need all the love they can right now, I'm going Vandy.
Best Vanderbilt team since James Franklin left. They'll win the game.
All right, now we get to somewhat decent games here. First is San Jose State at USC. I think this is next Thursday night, I believe.
No, it's this Saturday
night. Oh, it is Saturday. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Steve, what you got?
It's on Pac-12 Network.
Ah, there you go.
USC, it's not just a question of how much. Caleb Williams will throw for over 304 touchdowns.
I'm also going with the Fighting Reggie Bushes.
To who?
I was trying to make a
USC?
Joke.
USC?
Yeah, I'm going with USC. Oh. I'm going with the Reggie
Did
Bushes.
Did you call them the Butchers?
No, I said the Reggie Bushes.
Oh. I got USC.
All right. And finally,
it's not good when you have to explain the jokes.
Yeah, that was. We'll just skip that.
No, it was a good try, though.
I try.
It's a good try.
I do try. All right, then finally, the premier game of the week in Dublin. Notre Dame, Navy. King, let's start with you.
Well, I mean, come on. Notre Dame, and it's like a home game. And I'm looking at the schedule. Why aren't they playing USC over there? Why not give them a game? You know, if they're both playing this weekend, why didn't they both go and Notre Dame, USC? But I got Notre Dame.
I'm rolling with the Fighting Irish with the new QB, and we'll see what happens the rest of the way.
Preparation-wise, the best scenario when you play Navy is to play them in the opener because it gives you extra time to prepare for how they play. It's a tough adjustment midseason to do that. Notre Dame will win with complete ease.
Yeah, with the triple option, but yes. Yeah.
Oh, they're 23-point favorites. So.
Yes. All right, lock them in.
How about FIU and Louisiana Tech?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I'll take Tech.
I'll go with Tech, too.
I got FIU. I probably should have shut my mouth.
There you go.
Lock them in.
Perfect.